Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. Two for one, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow, line dance song.
Hey, Sun Guy Nation, welcome back to the show here on another Friday afternoon. We're not going to do our usual show notes because Hurricane Florence is affecting a lot of shows out there. So if you're planning on going to wrestling, make sure you double check, make sure everything is on track for your show to be happening. Thoughts with the people affected by the hurricane. I know that tomorrow night you have Do or Die Wrestling still going on in Indianapolis Wrestling, and you also have ICW in the city of Indianapolis, and in our neck of the woods, NWWA in Portland, Oregon, still happening. But definitely before you head out to a venue, check and make sure everything is still a go for your particular area. Without further ado, I would like to welcome our guest this week, stepping in on short notice, Leon Knight. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Sign Guy. Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure to have you. Now, the first question I have for you this time on the show is, we know that you have been suffering from an injury the last few weeks, which has precluded you from stepping into a ring anywhere. Can you update us on the status of your health right now?
Yeah, so I have been dealing with post-concussion and second impact syndrome. I've thankfully been cleared to, for the last few weeks, I've been cleared to get back into physical activity, getting back into the gym, and I am now officially 100% cleared to get back into the ring, and will be doing so this weekend at Blue Collar Wrestling.
Now, obviously, you were diagnosed with a concussion after a recent match with Buddy Highway. I'm sure the person that made the initial diagnosis, brilliant at what he diagnosed and was able to spot that right away. For the fans that don't know, and this has been a controversial topic in the last several years, can you describe actually what a concussion does to a person and how that makes it difficult not only just to wrestle but to do day-to-day activities?
Yeah, it's definitely been a really sensitive topic, especially, I mean, it's been a big thing, you know, with the, you know, the NFL, even to a lesser degree, you know, the NBA, Major League Baseball. But as far as what it does, I mean, the initial impact was, I mean, I don't even remember what happened exactly. I mean, that's the scary thing. I mean, I blacked out. I'm not positive how long I was out. You might be able to tell me, you know, a little bit more about that. I can't even tell even from watching the video. So as far as what it precluded me from doing, I mean, being able to do any physical activity was probably the most impactful thing. Memory loss was also significant. It was scary. It was very, very scary. Pressure, there was a lot of pressure in my head afterwards that was also, not going to lie, very concerning. And even more so, I haven't really discussed this either, but I actually had something of a relapse about 2 weeks after the initial concussion, which was actually how I got diagnosed with second impact syndrome when I attempted to return to training way too soon. The training session itself, I was okay, but afterwards when we were breaking down the ring, That's when I had this just horror, like just this painful feeling of just pressure at the top of my head. And I couldn't really do anything. I just had to just sit down. I couldn't really move around. I had to go to the hospital immediately afterwards. And that's when I was told, yeah, you don't do anything wrestling related for at least a month. I was essentially medically suspended for 1 month. And then once I actually got my clearance from my doctor, that's when I was told, okay, you're able to get back in the ring, but if anything happens, you know, beyond this, then, I mean, you're probably looking at being done for probably the rest of the year.
Now, you make your return this week to Blue Collar Wrestling, and the landscape of Blue Collar Wrestling is a very exciting place right now. There's a lot happening. There's talk of BCW having its own channel on Fight TV. The company's grown quite a bit in the last year to year and a half. One of the things you've been doing, even before the injury, was guest caller commentary. Have you found commentary to be something that is a thing that you're fond of doing right now?
Yeah, I actually really enjoy it. I was doing a lot of color commentary even before we really started to expand. So it was something I had become very adept at. Yeah, I really do enjoy it. It's something I have a lot of fun with, especially when I'm whether it's Mason Storm or Douglas Rockefeller, my boy, my friend. But yeah, no, I definitely have I have a lot of fun with it, and I try to do it whenever possible, you know, just mostly, you know, what else am I gonna do, you know? I've got nothing better to do, just sit in the back, cool down. No, anytime that I have an opportunity to get a more bird's eye view, what's going on in the ring, and even to be able to give my own perspective, I will take that anytime.
Well, at this point in the show, we have a game we like to play. We call it Bring On to Choice, Bring On to Funk. I will throw out the series of two options. The one that is your personal preference is the answer. Are you prepared for a round of Bring On to Choice, Bring On to Funk?
Oh, yeah. Bring it on, baby.
Here we go. Barefoot or boots?
Boots.
Elbow drop or leg drop?
Elbow drop.
Terry Taylor or Terry Funk?
Terry Funk.
Apple juice or pineapple juice?
Apple juice.
Weights or cardio?
Weights.
Radio or television?
Television.
All Japan or AAA?
All Japan.
Jacques Rougeau Jr. or Ted DiBiase Jr.?
Jacques Rougeau Jr.
The last one, Lance Russell or Tony Schiavone?
Lance Russell.
All right. Now, speaking of Tony Schiavone, he, of course, has branched off and has been a baseball commentator for the last several years. Baseball making the turn into the playoffs relatively soon. If you were to put together a starting baseball lineup using Pacific Northwest wrestlers to go into some sort of big baseball competition, what would your starting lineup consist of by position?
So I would put myself at the managerial position. I haven't had the type of athleticism to play baseball since I've been like 10 years old. Let's see, my leadoff guy, I would probably have to go with I need somebody. I need a good, accurate hitter who's got some speed. I'm going to probably go with the Bird from 3-2-1 Battle. And then I need a really good, accurate hitter so I can get the Bird into scoring position. I need somebody reliable. I'm going to probably go with Amsterdam on that one. And then I need a power hitter at the three spot. Power hitter, maybe he's got a little bit of speed. Let's see. That's a tough one. I think I will go, I don't know how much he's got left in the speed department, but I think I might go with a Wade Hess there. I'm going to go with a Wade Hess at the three spot. Four spot, I need some more power. I'm going Buddy Highway at the four spot. Five, now, do they have to be active or can they be retired?
They can be under quotation marks retired.
Quotation marks retired, okay. Because if I think I'm going to go Thunder at the five spot. That guy's going to be bombs all day long. Six spot, this is probably where I'm going to go more to my defensive part of the lineup. Let's see. This is where I'm going to go Goblin at the sixth spot. He'll definitely give me some good defense for sure. Seventh spot. Seventh spot. I think I'm going to go with Tectonic. He's the kind of guy, I think he could probably bring me some power, but he's going to bring me the defense for sure. Let's see, eighth spot, I will go, I think I'm going to go Steve West of 3-2-1 Battle. And then at the ninth spot, this is probably going to be my starting pitcher, assuming we're not doing any DH here. I need somebody still throwing those strikes, so. Somebody with a complete disregard for the rules, obviously, so I'm going to go with Bad Blood there.
All right. That sounds like a pretty potent lineup.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Well, at this point in time, QT Vokes is with us, and I'm sure QT has some questions, so let this help you for a while as QT takes the reins.
All right.
Leon?
I'm doing good, man. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. I'd like to expand on Sign Guys, Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk. Are you ready for the expanded version?
Yeah, let's
okay.
Go for it.
Ric Flair or Rob Van Dam?
Ric Flair.
Thanksgiving or Christmas?
Christmas.
Kingdom or Quest Field?
Ooh. Questfield.
Okay. Marilyn Monroe or Kaylee Cuoco?
Marilyn Monroe.
Okay. And the last one, corned beef hash or corned beef brisket?
Corned beef brisket.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, Leon, you just went through your baseball lineup of Northwest wrestlers. Are you familiar with this wrestler named Sasquatch?
I sure am.
Well, why don't you substitute Sasquatch as your catcher? He could really block the plate.
You know, he could. The thing is, I need somebody with a little more mobility. I mean, yeah, he can definitely, I mean, he'll definitely be able to, you know, keep the, he'll have the position, but yeah, I need some mobility there. I got to have some mobility.
At this time, could I recommend Damon James as catcher? Damon James.
Damon James actually would be a really good idea there. And you know, and it's just because I haven't really seen him. I haven't really seen him doing a lot. You know, recently, and maybe I just haven't really been paying attention to a lot of the lineups as of late. But I mean, yeah, he definitely would have the. He's definitely got the size. He's definitely going to have some mobility there. I could see that. I could see that working.
Oh, okay. All right. And could I recommend Ron Von Hess as a middle inning relief pitcher? Ron Von Hess.
You know, that's actually a really good call there too. I could see him coming in for maybe get me out of a jam, you know, and maybe an inning or two. I could see that working.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right. And could I recommend the Phoenix Kid as backup left field? The Phoenix Kid.
You know, I would probably, and you know what, I would use him. If this was a situation where we had a DH, I could definitely see him. I could see him in a DH slot for sure.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. And how about Blue Collar Wrestling Matt Leiske as third base coach? Matt Leiske.
Considering how good he is with, you know, calling out signals, you know, the way he calls out those times, you better believe it. Oh, yeah, he would definitely make a fantastic third base coach.
Wow. All right. Okay. Well, we made a couple of tweaks to the lineup here. Very nice. Okay. Very good. All right. Well, Leon, I saw your YouTube video entitled NWA Blue Collar Wrestling Iron Man versus Leon Knight 1-1-17, and
yes.
I know this published the first day of the 2017 New Year, so it probably took place in December of 2016. Am I correct in that time frame?
No, that one actually did take place on New Year's Day. I remember that one fondly because we almost canceled that show.
Oh, was that because of the snow?
Yep, exactly.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, now, Sign Guy was a referee, and in the opening moments of the video, you can see that Iron Man has a chain around his neck that he discards in the corner at the 24-second mark, but it remains on the mat after you come running into the ring, and Iron Man does a quick exit from the ring. I would like to point out to our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners that unlike some wrestlers, you got the pinfall victory over Iron Man cleanly and without ever resorting to using a foreign object to win, even though that steel chain can be seen in the corner as you pin Iron Man 1-2-3.
You know, I'm not going to lie. I actually, it had occurred to me to go after that chain. It did. It was tempting, given that we had, given the history, given that he had basically resorted to trying to turn me into his personal slave for the last couple of months, and given that during the actual contract signing in the week prior to the match, he had actually attacked me. I really did consider going after him with that chain. I'm not going to lie.
Wow. Holy. Now, who presided over this contract signing?
This would have been former color commentator King Hitman.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. At the time, did you feel a lot of pressure at the signing, or did it come freely?
You know, at first, I actually at first it did, it was very free flowing. I didn't really feel any pressure. In fact, if the video is available, you actually see, I have a smirk on my face for the, majority of it. It's only when Iron Man starts getting a little too close to, for comfort is when that smirk kind of disappears. But yeah, I didn't really feel any pressure. I knew how to beat him. I knew how to beat him. I knew what I needed, you know, what kind of position he needed to be in, and I knew how to throw him off his game. But, I mean, he's a crafty veteran. He knew how to get into my head as well, and he definitely got into my head pretty early on. It took me a bit to compose myself once that match started.
To your knowledge, are there any ceremonial pins from this contract signing available on eBay?
I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea. I'm not even sure exactly what became of the actual contract itself. I'm sure it's filed away in somebody's filing cabinet somewhere. But yeah, beyond that, the only thing that I remember about the contract signing is that when King Hitman was trying to preside over it, he had promised me ahead of time that he was going to keep the peace, and that obviously did not happen. So bad job by him.
I'm going to guess that there is a copy of this contract signing at Patty's home plate. Yes.
Probably. Yeah, probably.
Yes.
That's if she would have it, yeah, if anybody would have it, she would.
Well, now, speaking of which, when was the last time you were at Patty's home plate?
Ago. I actually had to go over there to meet somebody. Patty was unfortunately not present, but yeah, I got to get back there pretty soon. We actually have we have a commercial to shoot over there pretty soon.
Oh, I haven't heard of this. What is this commercial for?
Oh, it's just a general commercial for Fight TV. So we're just going to be shooting. We've got a few of the wrestlers who are going to be taking part, and we're actually going to shoot multiple commercials there at the restaurant. Myself, Bad Blood, possibly Buddy Highway, Jameson Moonshine, JB Moonshine, among others, will be shooting various commercials there at the restaurant.
Oh, that's going to be huge. You'll have to keep Sign Guy and myself updated on this. That sounds interesting.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're planning to shoot it on a Monday. Otherwise, we would invite you gentlemen to take part.
Wow! All right. Now, for your appearance fee at this commercial shoot, are you going to get free biscuits and gravy? Is that what you're going to have?
I'm doing this. I don't know about everybody else, but I'm doing this pro bono.
Oh, very nice. Hey, that's very nice. All right. Okay. All right. Well, Leon, at the 1:03 mark of the video, the announcer says, weighing in at 225 pounds from Portland, Oregon, Leon Knight. My question is, in late 2016, and this would have been right around the end of the month, was this
Yep.
your normal weight range because you carry it very well in this match? Have you lost about 15 to 20 pounds since because of your injury? And are you down
no,
to 200 pounds?
No, actually, I've gained, I've actually put on about 15 pounds since then.
Oh, okay. That's probably because you haven't done quite as much cardio.
Not as much cardio. I haven't even really been able to hit the gym lately. That's the unfortunate thing about having a concussion like that, is that you're completely precluded from doing any kind of physical activity for fear that you may end up making it worse, which I discovered I actually did end up doing when I tried to return to training way too soon.
Oh, all right. Okay. Now, in any part of this concussion recovery, did you contact Aaron Bolo, who suffered 4 to 5 concussions and did not want to take a chance and retired permanently from wrestling.
You know, I should have. I really should have contacted him. Because I know that there's been a couple of wrestlers around the Northwest who have had to step away because of concussion issues, Aaron Bolo being one of them. I know Jeremy Blanchard also had a similar issue, and he had to step away, although I believe he has since returned. But, no, that was actually something that I probably should have done just to try to get a better perspective on, you know, recovery and, you know, maybe his circumstances. Well, I know his circumstances were far, far different from mine, but if I could have done anything differently, I would have gotten that kind of a perspective for sure.
Wow. All right. Okay. Well, Leon, has anyone ever told you that you look similar to X, blue collar wrestler from Longview, Washington, Smooth Steve Rush, that had to retire due to back problems?
You know, it's funny because I actually did manage when I was still in my managerial days. I managed Buddy Highway in a match against Steve Rush, and it only came up one time, but yes, somebody did mention it.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Leon, the actions in this match started at the 1:27 mark as you bailed out of the ring and chased Iron Man around two sides of the ring. He got back in the ring first, and you came sliding in like Pete Rose at the 1:32 mark. It was during your slide that very shortly afterward that Iron Man put 5 right-legged boot stomps to your back. My question is, did you have a back injury that you can recall before this match? And if so, was Iron Man aware of this?
No. Truthfully, I think this was just, again, him being a savvy veteran and just trying to catch me off guard. Again, I came into that match full of just emotion that I had not kept in check. So him getting me off my game pretty quickly was obviously part of his game plan. And him putting the boots to me, you know, just happened to be the payoff to at least the early part of that game plan.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, Leon, at the 1:40 mark, Iron Man pins your left arm behind your back in a chicken wing style, and he tries to set you up for a Stan Stasiak heart punch. Stan Stasiak once brought Andre the Giant to his knees with his heart punch. Were you yourself a big Stan Stasiak fan?
I haven't watched nearly enough Stan Stasiak as I should. I will say that knowing his mastery of the heart punch, him and other users of said heart punch were some of the wrestlers that I did study in that, you know, to prepare for that match, trying to find ways to get out of that situation to avoid the heart punch. I don't know if in your research this was something that you actually caught on to, but about a year prior, before I had to take some time off, my last match before taking some time off from blue collar wrestling would have been a 10-man tag with myself and the then faction, and I was the first person eliminated in that match via that same heart punch from Iron Man, or Tex Thompson, as he was at that point. So that was something I was very familiar with. I had that well scouted, and I did take a look at a couple of Stan Stasiak's heart punches. To say that I'm a fan, though, I mean, I haven't really watched enough to judge properly.
Okay. Would you say that you watched more Rip Oliver film of that era than Stan Stasiak, Rip Oliver and his clan.
Yeah, I would say so.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, Leon, you ducked his punch, and you landed on your backside after you ducked his punch. You twisted around and grabbed his left knee, forcing him to collapse chest first into the ropes. And then, down on the canvas, it was there you applied a Ric Flair figure four leg lock. How can you, would you say that this was one of your more better moves, ducking that hard punch and then applying that figure four leg lock in what appeared to me to be only about 2.5 seconds? And you had Iron Man in deep trouble. Was that one of your quicker turnarounds and defensive moves ever that you think that you executed in blue collar wrestling? It was pretty
absolutely
stunning.
Yeah, absolutely. That was something that, again, I had that heart punch scouted. I knew that I had a handful of moves that I was going to go for, you know, just depending on what situation I had them in. And it just so happened that the way we were positioned, the first thing I thought of was figure four, knowing also, and again, this is something that in doing my research, you know, and, you know, prior to the match, that figure four was something that Iron Man had also done pretty extensively throughout his career. So this was more of a case of me trying to embarrass him in much the same way that he had been embarrassing me in the prior months.
Wow. Okay. Well, now, Leon, that was a very nice victory, a huge victory that sent many shockwaves through BCW. And as you're aware, Turnbuckle Turmoil publishes a weekly top 9 7/8 Northwest Wrestler Rankings. Do you recall at the start of 2017 that your victory over Iron Man got you the coveted number one ranking, Turnbuckle Turmoil ranking, and that fruit pie that comes along with it, the very prestigious fruit pie? Do you recall if you won that?
You know, I recall being ranked, but you're reminding me now. Yeah, I didn't realize that I was actually number one on the list. I do remember that I had made the list though, and I was actually, that was something I was especially proud of. So thank you for the consideration. But yeah, no, it totally had escaped me that I was actually ranked number one.
Well, actually, for that match against Iron Man, I don't believe you quite attained that number one ranking. In fact, I'm not sure if you've ever received a number one ranking. Do you recall?
I don't think I have. Yeah, I don't think I have.
This borders on criminal.
Well, to be honest, I mean, if I do get that number one ranking, I want it to be like, you know, the match versus Iron Man is definitely something that I'm very proud of that victory, but I want it to be something, you know, on that level, if not bigger, in order to earn that ranking. So, I mean, if that happens, then, I mean, just for example, I mean, let's say, you know, I get past this match, you know, coming up this Sunday, you know, with the, I'm going to be teaming with the Goblin going up against Sean Angel and Brian Armstrong of the Brandt Dynasty. Supposing that I am able to survive that match, and supposing that maybe I get an opportunity to go after the Pacific Northwest tag team titles, you know, winning those tag team titles, that would be something, you know, where I would feel like if I got that number one spot, I will have earned it, you know, in winning those tag team titles, just for example.
Oh, very well said. All right. Well, yeah. Okay. Well, Leon, past winners at Blue Collar Wrestling of that coveted number one ranking and fruit pie include Big V, Sunny Days, Matt Leisky, and even superfan Bob, as well as Patty from Patty's Home Plate. Now, currently, Tyson Tank, for the second week in a row, has won the coveted number one ranking, and he has received one fruit pie, with one fruit pie yet to be delivered. So we're going to keep a close eye in this last quarter, well, oh my, let me, 4 months of 2018 for Leon Knight.
You know, I really appreciate it, and I love me some Tyson Tank. That's a man that, I love teaming up with him. I would love to team up with him here again pretty soon, unofficially, whether it's under the MRT name or not. But, I mean, he's easily been one of the best partners I've ever had, so that would be, it would be awesome to, you know, be paired up with him again here pretty soon.
Now, speaking of Tyson Tank, Leon, have you ever tag-teamed with him at La Problemitas in Bremerton, Washington?
Yes. Yes, I have. I had a particularly brutal match teaming with him against the Contract Kilters a few months ago. We call that the I affectionately call that the Backdrop from Hell match.
Oh, can you explain why you call it that?
Yeah, so at one point in the match, the Kilters had me in a position for some maneuver that's called a backdrop driver. Most people, we just call it a backdrop suplex over in Japan. Dr. Death Steve Williams made it famous for his particular version of the move. So, the much taller one of the two Kilters had me in position for the what would have normally just been a backdrop suplex. The other Kilter landed a clothesline at the same time, and they got me so far over, they basically drove me down onto the back of my head, hence the backdrop driver.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. I got to tell you, those Contract Kilters, they're a pretty tough team. Boy, I wouldn't want to pay.
They truly are.
I don't believe the Contract Kilters have been ranked number one on the Turnbuckle Turmoil top 9 7/8 Northwest Weekly rankings. They haven't.
No, I don't think they have. That's a... I would be keeping my eye on them as well. They are not they are no slouches as a team. They were able to attain those tag team titles at one point. So I would definitely keep an eye on them if they should end up maybe winning those tag titles back at some point.
Okay, all right. Well, now speaking of Tyson Tank, the current number one ranked Turnbuckle Turmoil wrestler, both Sign Guy and I saw him in action in Tacoma recently. In fact, only about 3 miles from my appointment. Tyson Tank, a very stout individual. Do you yourself maybe see in the future where you could be tag teaming with Tyson Tank against the Contract Kilters?
Yeah, I really do hope so. Like I said, he's one of the best partners that I've ever had. It wasn't the first time that we had teamed up together, but we were still very much in the trying to kind of figure out what we could do as a team. And really, only two matches in, and we already had tremendous chemistry, so... I mean, he is such a awesome wrestler, and it would be an honor to team up with him again, and to be able to do so on a regular basis would be all the more sweet.
Wow, fantastic. Boy, I'd hope to see that. All right. Okay. Well, Leon, I also saw your YouTube video you were in called PPPW 7-2714. Wonderful Zach Winters versus Leon Knight, and you were fresh out of the Buddy Highway training school. Do you recall where this match took place? My sources say that it may have taken place in Roseburg, Oregon.
That is correct. It was in Roseburg.
Oh, okay, it looked like a VFW hall or Veterans of Foreign War, and it had an antlered elk on the wall. Yes.
You know, I'm not 100%. I believe it was an Elks Lodge. Remember offhand exactly what kind of building it was, but I'm pretty sure it was an Elks Lodge.
Oh, okay. Wow, all right. Okay. Okay. Well, Leon, in 1972, Cheech and Chong signed a year-long contract to appear at the Aladdin Casino in Las Vegas. They performed for a staggering $15,000 per night, which is good, even in today's standards. How much do you get paid per match at Blue Collar Wrestling? Would you take 3 zeros off this figure of $15,000?
Yeah, that would be, take 3 zeros off and would say maybe increase the first digit and a little bit, but and you're about in the right neighborhood.
Wow, okay, $25. Very nice, okay.
Yeah,
all
something
right.
Like that.
Wow, $15,000 in 1972. That's very good.
I know, right?
Okay. Yes. I remember a video that reminds me of your match with the wonderful Zach Winters. Well, when Cheech first met Chong, they met at this comedy club in Canada. No, actually, it was a battle of the bands that way they were in. When they first started forming a band, Cheech looked at Chong and looked at him very carefully and goes, what are you? He was trying to figure out his nationality because Tommy
yep.
Chong is part Chinese. And Chong looked at Cheech and he had never met a Mexican before. And it was instant chemistry. Yes.
Yeah, and I remember they did a takeoff on that initial first meeting in their movie Up in Smoke.
Yes. And in that battle of the bands, they started telling jokes and for about 1 hour, they just told jokes back and forth and they didn't play their instruments and the crowd loved it. And they kind of thought, well, forget about these instruments and band playing. I think we got something here. That's what they did.
Yeah, no, that yes. was – I'm a huge Cheech and Chong fan, so, yeah, anything with them, I will watch it. I mean, I was – when I first moved to the Portland area back in 2006, 2007, when I had heard that they were actually going to be they're going to be live, I want to say – I can't remember the name of the venue, but somewhere in downtown Portland – when I heard that they were going to be here, I made it to go out and see them. Like, there was no way I was going to miss that. I went and I had to find, you know, tickets on the secondhand market. I mean, yeah, there was no way I was going to miss that.
Wow. All right. I know this isn't quite wrestling related, but how'd the show go?
Oh, it was awesome. I remember early on, about the first 10 minutes in, Cheech, he's doing his usual, kind of warming up the crowd. And he starts going on about how he's a Laker fan. Crowd starts booing him unmercifully. And then he brings up the Greg Oden thing because Greg Oden had just signed. They had just discovered the issues with his knees, and he had to have the microfracture. And so he's going off about Greg Oden, and the fans are just going nuts. Oh, so and even as a huge Blazer fan, I can't hate. I can't hate because in retrespect, Laker fan or not, he was kind of right.
Wow. Isn't it true? I think Greg Oden is planning a comeback. I think I read something about that.
I don't know about that. I imagine he's probably got some legal issues to sort out first.
No, I stand corrected. It's Andrew Bynum. Andrew Bynum for the Lakers.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Yes.
Wow, that's a name I haven't heard in a while.
Yes, I think he's like now 30 years old.
Yeah, he was young when he got started. Like, yeah, I remember him, like, yeah, great defensive player, but not exactly much in the not exactly much in the brain department, unfortunately.
Well, I'd really like to see an Andrew Bynum versus Gregor Petrov bull rope match. I'd pay big money to see that.
Oh, I would love to see that. I would pay, yeah. Oh, God, yes.
All right. Well, Leon, it's been a very nice talking with you, and I'm going to turn it back over to Sangai. Watch the Turnbuckle Turmoil Northwest 9 7/8 wrestler rankings pretty carefully over the next couple weeks.
Awesome talking to you as well. Thank you.
Back to you, Sangai.
Thank you, QT. Well, Leon, as you know, merchandise is an important revenue stream for independent professional wrestlers. Are there any plans right now for Leon Knight merchandise to be making its way to the merchandise tables?
I've got a couple of t-shirt ideas, but truthfully, it almost seems like I'm doing more suggesting merchandise ideas for other wrestlers than I am coming up with anything for myself at this point.
Now, another source of revenue in the last several years has been, of course, the streaming services and getting on that type of platform for wrestling promotions. Obviously, with Blue Collar Wrestling, there's Fight TV. A lot of promotions have gone to Twitch. What do you think of the explosion of the streaming services and how it's really seemed to help the growth of independent professional wrestling?
I love it. Without streaming services, you know, like, you know, Fight TV, Twitch, or even in some cases YouTube streaming, I mean, we would not have nearly the access to professional wrestling, independent professional wrestling, international professional wrestling that we have today. So the more the merrier. I mean, everybody has their own, you know, preferences on what kind of wrestling they like. They all have their, you know, what kind of wrestlers they like to watch. And, I mean, it's variety is the spice of life. So, like I said, the more the merrier. Any promotion that can get themselves on some kind of a platform, like whether it be TV, whether it be internet, we need more of that. We need more of these promotions making themselves accessible, making themselves known to the world, so that wrestlers might have more of a, more places to go work.
One of the hopes and dreams of most independent wrestling fans is to see whatever remnants are left of the faction you belong to, Mr. T, take on any combination of the A-Team out of Canada. Some people say it's their only hope and dream to see this come to fruition. Do you know of any scheduled meeting between Mr. T and the A-Team?
I don't know of any at the moment, but don't count anything out. I know Chase James just made his first appearance in at WUW recently. So, I mean, where one shows up, there might be more coming. So it could be any time now.
Hopefully that goes down soon. We were so close at the last NGW show. So very close.
So close, yeah. I mean, I know Lance Pearson was supposed to make his first appearance with WUW as well. He had a conflict of schedules, so unfortunately he couldn't make that show. But, I mean, the first chance, I would welcome that opportunity. I would love to whatever combination of the A-team it happens to be. I mean, whether it be Chase James and Lance Pearson, you know, Jackson Price, you know, Orion Wolf, any of those guys, whichever combination it happens to be, I will happily take that challenge.
Now, you and Lance Pearson have the distinction of both suffering from concussions in the last year or so. Both were diagnosed by a very good concussion diagnostician. You both resumed your careers after said. You might be on opposite ends as far as a match go, but have you consulted with Lance Pearson about his concussion problems?
Yeah, again, this is one of those things where if I could have done things any differently, you know, in my own recovery, I would have talked to, you know, other wrestlers that had been dealing with that kind of an issue. Yeah, Lance is definitely a guy that I wish I had, you know, consulted with. Whoever ends up listening to this, and, you know, I can't stress the importance of, taking care of oneself when you've had some kind of an injury to the head like that. So I know Lance, he was able to recover pretty well, and having a gentleman who was able to, you know, diagnose correctly like that on the spot, that is definitely a big factor as well.
Now, for those listening, even I took 6 days off from getting inside of a ring when I had a concussion, a contusion, and a subdermal hematoma in a single match.
Yeah, and it's something you don't want to mess around with, something like that. You're going to have more opportunities to work. You're going to have more opportunities to get in the ring, you know, if you're a wrestler or whatever, you know, your profession is. Don't rush back to it, please. Coming from anybody else who has had this kind of an injury, just take your time.
Absolutely, and definitely it helps having people that are more normal thinking tell you no when it seems to happen, because a lot of times people aren't quite thinking normally when they've had concussions and so forth.
No, that's absolutely true. And when it's something that you have to have somebody there. I mean, whether it's just a friend of yours, whether it's somebody who's in, you know, whether it's an official, whether it's management, whether it's family, anybody that can just tell you no, don't rush back into it. Listen, they're only looking after you. They're looking after your best interest.
Well, we've come down to the last few minutes of the show today, so I want to give that time to you. If there's anything you would like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything, upcoming shows, merchandising, social medias, your favorite bakery, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
Well, thank you once again for having me on such short notice. I know that with the hurricane happening over on the East Coast, unfortunately, Count Grog, the consistent nemesis of one Seymour Snot, was not able to be on the show today. Being able to fill his shoes was not easy, but yeah, be looking for the Fight TV, the BCW Fight TV channel. I understand that it has actually been approved, and now we're just migrating all of the BCW TV and major shows onto that. So be checking out the Blue Collar Wrestling page on Facebook. That's facebook.com/UWA Blue Collar Wrestling. You can find me this weekend at Blue Collar Wrestling, teaming with Goblin, going up against Sean Angel and Brian Armstrong of the Brandt Dynasty. And in about 2 weeks at our next major event, I will be going one-on-one with Brian Armstrong in a lumberjack match, lumberjacks with straps at ringside. I will also be returning to WUW that same weekend on the 29th, my opponent yet to be determined. And let's see. That's about all for right now. I know I'll be filling those dates here pretty soon, so find me. You'll be able to look for me on Facebook. I will provide. I'll go on the either the Turnbuckle Turmoil or the Sign Guy Radio Show Facebook page, one or the other, and I'll get that linked out as well.
Well, as usual, it's been a pleasure having you, and I'm sure I will be seeing you fairly soon. And definitely good news that you've recovered from the concussion and you're taking the time to heal completely. So fans, definitely if you're on the East Coast, stay safe out there. Make sure if the hurricane's near you, you are doing everything you can to stay out of its path. And if there's wrestling near you and it's a safe place, get out there, support your local independents. We'll be back with you Sunday afternoon. Prince Akaton will be our guest on Sunday. Should be an outstanding show with him, and we'll talk to you then.
Thank you.